Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Title of the message, The Principal Thing. And as we look through Scripture, we see over and over and over that we are to have our heart and mind fixed on the things of God. And as I was reading this passage, we read it, I don't know what is today, today is the 7th, so we read it 3 or 4 days ago as a family. And I stopped on this verse 7 and talked to the kids about it a little bit. Ask them if they knew what it meant to, when it said it is the principal thing. What does that mean to you? And we talked about why is wisdom the principal thing and what that actually means. And it's not a complicated thing right here. We see the important thing in our life, or that which is the top priority, is wisdom. And Paul said that I run this race, and the prize of the race was to know God. Well, if I know God, I have wisdom. And so we have this verse, and I want to start reading in verse 5. We're going to read down through verse 9. And we're going to look shortly here tonight at these three things. And we see in verse 6 that he preserves us. We're preserved by wisdom. Secondly, in verse 8, we see that we're promoted by it. And then verse 9, I stretched a little bit, but we're poised. We're poised. I was talking to the kids about verse 9, and I hope this can be said about us. But starting in verse 5, it says, Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. What an interesting thought, that this is what wisdom does to us. And I wonder how many people have ever thought about me. He's crowned with grace. That his actions, his thoughts, his words are that of grace. This is what is portrayed in his life. Well, if wisdom is the principal thing, this is what happens in our life. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll look at these points. Father, just ask that you would guide my mouth and my mind tonight. Lord, that we'd be led by your Spirit, that your word would be clear, and Lord, we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, after wisdom, that we would have the same mind Paul had, that we would lay aside everything that stops us in the race of life, and the prize of that race is, Lord, to know you. Help it to be our desire, our motivation, in all that we do. Just guide us tonight. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, he says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And then says, when you do, she'll do these things. She will do these things. She's going to promote you. She's going to bring you to honor. She's going to give a crown of grace to your head, a crown of glory. This is what what wisdom does for us. And I thought about starting at the beginning of the chapter, hear ye the children, the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. This whole chapter, this whole book of Proverbs, we've been going through it in Sunday school slowly, is contrasting wisdom and foolishness. The thoughts of God and the thoughts of man, the wisdom of man against the wisdom of God. And how desperately we should desire and we need the wisdom of God. And he says, I'm going to go back to verse 5 and start. He said, get wisdom. We need to possess it. I like it that it's a possessive word. I can have it. It can be attained. I don't know, pushing 50. I wonder sometimes, when is wisdom going to click in? When's it going to take effect? I'm halfway to 100 here, almost. Sometimes we wonder, is it really possible to have wisdom? we look at those that have it and we understand that they have it, and Satan comes along and says, yeah, but they're better than you. And I think it's important for every one of us to get a hold of this verse. It's personal to all of us. You can have wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And here we see what it does for us. And so my first point tonight is wisdom preserves. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Forget it not. Forget not what, or forsake not what. You know, we have the Word of God in our hand, and this is wisdom. And this is basic Bible doctrine, right, or Christian teaching, something that we've heard all of our life if we've been in church. This is where I am to look for wisdom. And I was reading, I shouldn't do these things because it just frustrates me, but I was reading an article. This person had said something about Joel Osteen being a false prophet. And I was like, hey, amen to that, you know. And so I clicked on the comments. And there's so many comments on there that were defending him, that he's brought me through all these bad times, and his words are so uplifting. And as I was reading through it, I was like, most of those comments are focused on the man and how his words are happy, and he's very eloquent, you know, good-looking guy, great hair. Somehow, in all of that, it was interesting to read. They didn't say he pointed you to the Word of God. So their wisdom was coming from Joel Osteen, and their momentary happiness, or getting them through this rough time in their life, was based on the eloquence of a man. And I thought they're forgetting true wisdom. They're forgetting what preserves and what keeps. This brought you through maybe a rough time, or you think it did. It helped you mentally cope with what was going on in your life, but you don't have anything sustaining because you don't have the Word of God. Forget it not. So it is daily applied. It's daily read. And we haven't done it in a while. We've done several things in the past where we had programs to read through the Word of God in a year. I wouldn't mind doing that again at the beginning of the year. Let's have something where we are, and if I can get it all put together, I'll do this, where we can have a Bible reading program and maybe do it as a church. Now, we're not going to hold anybody to the fire, but here is the need, because it's supposed to be prevalent in my life. Get wisdom. Well, you don't get it anywhere else, and we have our devotionals, we have our commentaries, we have the self-help books that we can read, but it only comes from the Word of God. So we need to not forget it. And I was looking at this, verse 10 through 13 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Only wisdom preserves. Only wisdom keeps us. He doesn't say, here's one of the things that keeps your steps from being straightened. And he says, here's one of the things that helps you not stumble when you're running. He says, this is what you must have to be kept in life. Here is the only thing that keeps us, is wisdom. And we're going to keep saying it because the problem is we lean on our own understanding far too often, and we do find those that can speak well, and we listen to them. It's a dangerous thing to get on Facebook or on YouTube and listen to preachers. Now, I'm not against getting a good preacher and listening to them, but be careful and make sure you always hold it against the Word of God. Make sure that what they're teaching is right. There's some really, really good, intelligent, I mean, I say good, they're good at what they do, preachers right now that are absolutely Calvinistic in doctrine. And you sit and listen to them, and they can be pretty convincing in their arguments. Be careful about what we listen to. It is only according to the Word of God. We must know what this book says, because a good preacher a talented preacher can cause us to stumble and cause us to fall. Our wisdom can only come from this word. Get wisdom, he said. Get understanding. Verse 7 then says it is the principal thing. And I know I've said this a few times, but that statement is conclusive as well. It is the most important thing. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, right? Asked for wisdom to lead his people. When God said, what do you need or what do you desire to lead this people? He said, Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. And the Lord was pleased with the answer, and he gave him wisdom. He understands the importance of it. You know, so it's an incredible thing to me to see the wisest man that ever lived and then understand how far he fell from God. And the sin that he promoted in Israel. Solomon was the one who brought child sacrifice into Israel. They were rolling babies down into the furnace of Molech. I think it was Molech, where they were burning them alive. Under Solomon's reign, it just amazes me. And what that reminds me of is, as I preach these messages, I think, well, I've preached this 800 times before. I got to understand that my flesh is able to do just what Solomon did. And get my mind off of the principal thing and start looking at other things. And the Bible says his wives led away his heart. You know, men, we can have our hearts and minds led away without 1,000 wives. It's right on that stupid phone. We can have so many things distract us if we're not careful, if we're not guarding our hearts. He said to keep it with diligence. And we think we're pretty wise, but we can do just like Solomon and fall into sin that's far grosser than we imagine. Only wisdom preserves, and it is the principal thing, and I hope it's our priority. He says then in verse 8, exalt her, or exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. Exalt, it's the same thing as wisdom is the principal thing. If I've exalted it, I've lifted it up and I've made it prominent. I've made it the focal point in my life. When I exalt something, I admire, I treasure, I lift that thing up. It should be the foremost thing in our homes. He says if we do that, exalt her and she shall promote thee. I was looking and wondering about promoting, because if I teach a Joel Osteen type of gospel, then I can say, well, as I seek wisdom, I'm promoted in life. You know, my one issue with the faith mission downtown, well, I shouldn't say that. My biggest issue with them is that they promote that as you get your life cleaned up, if you get baptized and you give your life to God, He will clean up your life and promote you in this life. And that's where the end game is. And it's the wrong motivation. This promotion in life is not that I'm going to be successful and have everything I ever wanted. And we know this to be true. This promotion is being blessed. I thought about John 3:30. If this promotion was that I am lifted up in this life, then I can throw John 3:30 out. It says, he must increase and I must decrease. So this promotion is being blessed. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here's the promotion in life. Start reading in verse 31. We're going to read down through verse 39. Seek wisdom. And it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a great statement in the Word of God. Amen. And it's only because of wisdom. It's only through wisdom. It's only because of a relationship with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you're on the side of the Almighty God, then what are we worried about? Last night, we were handing out tracts, and we handed out, I don't know how many exactly. I'm estimating somewhere in the range of 2,500. It wasn't probably any more than that. And I thought, well, it wasn't what we were looking for. And most of them are going to get thrown down. And who knows what they think of us now. All these insane thoughts that the mind will play on us. We need to come back to, you know what, we're serving the Lord. And Satan can fight, but nobody can come against those that serve the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? He will use our work, and he's going to make us victorious. And it is the blessing, this is the promotion that God gives from wisdom. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we have victory in this life, and then these verses which I quoted this morning are so powerful, and I don't know how anybody can ever believe that we can lose our salvation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. When I look at the Bible and in Proverbs and it says, wisdom will promote me, these are the things that I see. And maybe you can correct me, but this is how I understand the promotion of the Word of God. I have victory in life. If God is for me, who can be against me? I shouldn't have fear as I learn of God. It removes fear. It also says, in life, I'm more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? Because I am persuaded, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are blessed by him. When it says, I get wisdom, she shall promote me, well, it meets my spiritual needs, it meets my mental needs. And yes, the Lord said he will meet our physical needs, but this promotion is the blessing of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And it says back in our passage, it also says, she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You know, I wanted to just bring out two things that consider this crown of glory in verse 9 and this honor in verse 8 and promotion in verse 8. We're blessed and then we're used. And I want to be used by God. Well, I am when I'm seeking wisdom. When I have wisdom, I'm better equipped to serve God. He is leading in my life. And here is the promotion that we ought to all seek. Victory in our life, yes. Victory over sin, victory over death. I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm his for all of eternity. I don't fear death. I don't fear what man can do unto me. But greater than that is this ability to serve God. And I talked about the lady that's 109 and she's still playing the fiddle. She doesn't call it a violin, it's a fiddle. And she cannot see very well and she's still whittling out these violins because she can feel it. She can't see it, but she can feel the wood and she knows what she's doing with this wood. And I thought, she's gonna work at what she's passionate about until the day she dies. I want to serve the Lord until the day I die. I hope he, as I seek him, I know he will do this. As I seek him, promised from the Word of God, I will be promoted in that I will be able, in some fashion, who cares what fashion, but in some fashion, I can serve God until the day I die. Here is why wisdom is the principal thing, because in it is a relationship with God, in it is blessing, and in it is purpose. In it is this ability to serve God. Outside of it, I'm useless to him. Outside of the Word of God, I have no victory. I have no value to God. If I say that in this. We know that God loves us and values us enough that his son died to die for us. There's no measure of the love of God for us. He created us in His image. You are immeasurably valuable in the sight of God. But in the service of God, outside of wisdom, I can do nothing for Him. So here's the promotion. Now all of a sudden I can see God working through me. Not that I'm lifted up, but that I see the power of God. And that ought to be exciting to all of us. Here is this greater thing than anything else in life. Greater than anything else in life. I've heard people say, I'd rather be a pastor or a missionary than the president of the United States. And yes, okay, that's true. But you know what? I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God, serving God, than anything else in this life. It's not about position. It's about usefulness in the service of God. We think that position is important, and we value these things, and we lift up men. But the value is that I'm used of God in whatever capacity. And I look at this, and here's what wisdom does for you. It promotes you into the service of God. It gives you the ability to be useful in the kingdom of God. Verse 9, then, my last point, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. An ornament of grace. A life that's led by the Spirit of God is a life that shows the grace of God. We are all here by the grace of God. None of us here on our own merit or our own good. Anything that is good in me is the grace of God. But I think this statement goes beyond that, in that my life exudes the grace of God. Here is an individual who is gracious, who is kind, who is showing the love of God to those around him. Here I fall short so much in having an ornament of grace on my head. How many people see the grace of God when they see and deal with me? How many of us have this wisdom that gives us this ornament of grace in everything that we do? In everything that we do. I've talked about him before, when I was in high school, the neighbor across the street, Vern Hardesty, was 83 years old. His wife had Alzheimer's, and she was mean, but he took care of her until she died. He loved her. Her son hated his guts and wanted to hurt him all the time. He had all of these things going against him. And yet every time we talked to Vern, he would tell us what was going on in his life. He didn't pull any punches. He was like, he'd say, these are my problems. These are the things that I'm struggling with. But in all of that, he was giving glory to God. And in all of it, every time I talked to the man, I was encouraged, I was challenged, and I saw the grace of God in the middle of his trials. He's the one that I talk about. He came over the one morning. He's like, I got to share a verse with you. He goes, God gave me this verse this morning. And he read it to my dad and my younger brother and I. And he said, and I got to go back to work. He had a printing shop in the back of his backyard of his house and started printing gospel literature on his own. He was retired. He wanted to send literature to missionaries. He paid for it. He built the thing. He put this 1250 multi-lift printer back in there and taught himself how to use it. So he's going back across the street to print literature. He just loved to give out the gospel. And after he'd given us this verse, at 83 years old, he crosses the sidewalk, jumps over the flower bed, clicked his heels, landed in the yard, and kind of skipped on in the house. He was just excited. And he loved the Lord. And I never failed to see it in his life. And I read this verse and I think of him. And I was like, man loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. It was what his focus was. He understood that wisdom was the principal thing. And 83 years old, he's still digging in the Word of God. He had not lost any zeal for it. He was saved later in life. And he just loved the Word of God. And I wonder, am I led by the Holy Spirit in that people can see that? Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read the fruit of the Spirit tonight. Again, we know these things, but what does the world see around us? I was talking to my neighbor. My neighbor, Clint Cantwell, we bought our property from him. And I see him I don't know, not every week, but at least a couple times a month now, he drives across our cattle guard and goes into his pasture. And I came out of the crawl space the other day in time to see him coming out of the pasture, so I got to talk to him a little bit. And my desire is to witness to the man. And I'd love to see him get saved. And I thought when I walked away, it's like, what did he see in me? What did he see in me, right, as I was talking to him this morning? We didn't talk about spiritual things. Matter of fact, we're talking about digging wells and water, because he's got a little bit of a water issue for his cattle. And I was wanting to know if he knew there's an aquifer that he ran around anywhere in our area. And he wasn't sure. Doesn't matter. But we didn't talk about spiritual things. But as I walked away, I thought, you know what? Even though I don't have an opportunity to say, hey, you know, can I share with you my testimony? I didn't have that opportunity this morning. He can still see the grace of God if I'm led by the Spirit of God. And it can still have an influence in his life if I have wisdom. And we see in Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the ornament of grace that's on our head. When I have wisdom, this is what people see and hear as I speak to them. This is having grace. This is why I called it poised. I see this as being a person that has poise, that has composure. I have a fuse about that long, especially about certain things. And every time I lose my temper, I stop and I look back, I was like, you look like an idiot. Lost your composure. Lost your poise. There's no grace in that. I'm not showing Christ in that. But this person has this ornament of grace on their head, so it shows in everything that they do. They have poise, they have composure, they have compassion, they have the humble mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, so it's also in Christ Jesus, who I'm going to read it. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the fashion of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, I wonder, they portray Jesus walking around as this long-haired, blue-eyed, soft little pansy of a guy. I find that offensive. He was the son of a carpenter. The man had calluses on his hands. He didn't have long hair. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. His hair was cut normal as they would be, and he did not stand out in a crowd by his appearance, but he had the grace as the ornament on his head and drew multitudes to him. It was more than just the miracles. It was the work of God through Jesus Christ, through Almighty God. But here's the mind of him, the mind of Christ. He took on the form of a servant and humbled himself, became obedient unto death. This is also the ornament of grace. If I am humble, I'm going to be composed. If I am humble, I can have poise in the times of struggle and trial, because life is not about me. I'm going back to the passage. There is only one way, and it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. I don't have a theme for next year, but I'm thinking this might be it. That we would make wisdom the principal thing of Victory Baptist Church next year. That it's lifted up above all other things, and we seek him. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. It says, when thou goest, in verse 12, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. We have the unlimited supply given to all of us. Get wisdom, it says. Not hope you can get wisdom, but get it. And I hope we promote it and seek after it and follow after it with all of our heart, soul, and mind this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Thank you for all that you've given us, and thank you for your word. Lord, so many things distract us from it. So many things take our heart and mind off of you. And Lord, we forget what is the principal thing. We forget what is the priority and what really matters. Father, help us this week. As we look forward to Christmas coming, and we have interaction with people, and we have opportunity because of this season to share the gospel, help us to be those that have the ornament of grace, that the world around us will see your working in our lives, see the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. Lord, help us to know that that only comes as we study your word and obey your word, apply it to our lives. Guide us this week. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.